The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon.
Thank y'all for being here. Exciting time of the year. First practice. It's a lot different than it used to be. Most of you all are old enough in here to remember when you couldn't meet during the summer and didn't have any OTAs. And your first practice was truly your first practice. It's not the case anymore. Thankful for that. We basically had 16 OTAs. We met quickly in the summer before those OTAs. So kind of had a running start into practice. Today and tomorrow is really about teaching this group how to meet, how to walk through, how to practice. And then making sure we know our signals, our alignments, our assignments, and more mental days than anything. It's hard to really evaluate guys when we're just in helmets. Practice three is when we put shells on and really can start the evaluation process then. We got a lot going on at practice right now. You guys are going to be out there tomorrow. I think you'll see it. John was out there today. He can probably tell you it's organized chaos. There's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts. We're two-spotting all our group and team periods. And so what I mean by that, we have every team drill or every group, meaning 7-on-7, 1-on-1, those type of drills, is everybody's getting reps. So if we have a first down period going on one field, there's the exact same drill going on the defensive field. And so everyone's getting reps for the first 2 weeks or so. And it's really good for your young people, you know, where they can feel part of it. And everybody gets evaluated. And I think that's important. Mike Joseph and our strength conditioning staff, I think they've done a really good job getting our guys ready. It was nice and cool today. That helped. But we didn't have any conditioning, any issues at all. Thought the guys moved around well. And the summer with those guys is really about preparing for fall camp. And I felt good finishing day one. And then the first 2.5 weeks of camp is really about preparing for the season and preparing for all of our opponents, anything different that we're going to see. And then those last 2 weeks is really prepping for Penn State. And so that's kind of how we have it set up. As far as we have everybody here, you know, and I know y'all are going to ask, everybody's here. All the new transfers are out there today. Feel free to ask about them here in a second. Injured guys, I'll give you a little bit of update. Braden Dudley had a little off-season surgery. He's limited. We're hopeful he'll be back by early in the year, if not the first game. Josiah is well into his rehab. He's handled it well. Talking about Josiah Trotter. Asani Redwood is ahead of schedule. Pleased with where he's at. He's doing some non-contact stuff. I think he and our training staff is really be commended on that as well. Cortez Braham, he may or may not be out there tomorrow when you guys are there. Nothing serious. He's sick, so he was very limited today. Probably will be limited again tomorrow. Nothing serious. Davis continues to come back from his surgery that he got at the end of last year, and so he's out there limited, not full go yet. Zach Frazier was a full participant. And so if there's anybody else that y'all want to know about, ask. But with that, I'll take questions. Greg?
So you said everybody's here that you expected, newcomers. Just numbers, you're allowed 110 now? Do you have all that filled?
Well, you're really allowed up to 120.
120, okay.
Yeah, and so they changed that rule, which was a real positive rule. It's a emergency waiver, but we've always – most people's Title IX numbers – is right around 120. So our roster size is really determined by Title IX. And so for us, it's 120. And in the past, it used to be you had 105 in camp, and then it got expanded to 110. But you still had to tell 10 kids because everybody's here in the summer. This is a year-round deal, walk-on scholarship. It's a year-round deal. So you used to have to tell, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 kids, they couldn't come to camp. And that's not the case anymore. And that passed 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is, I think that's a positive move.
So those, the walk-on kids you've just added, most of those are just in getting here now?
No, so we've got about 4 or 5 that'll be here when school starts. And the rest of them have been here since our second summer session, which was the last week of June. Okay. So Traylon Ray and a high percentage of our walk-ons came in the second summer session. So I think it was, I don't know, last week of June, right after our last 7-on-7 camp.
Feel about good about the numbers you've got at all your position groups. Noticed you got 7 tight ends out there, which is more than normal. Pretty happy with what you got.
Our depth is better. We need some walk-on O-linemen. We've lost a few of those guys, so we've got enough scholarship, but I'd like to have a few more walk-on offensive linemen. And then, you know, at linebacker, because of Trotter's injury, you know, I'd like to be a little deeper there. But I think if you look, not that we're, you know, we wouldn't like to be better at some spots. I think everybody would. But from a numbers perspective, we can go out there and practice like you saw today and have 2 full units where everybody's getting work and the competition's still good enough.
Not burning your guys out throwing. You got enough guys.
Yeah, we got enough guys to rotate. Absolutely. Bob.
Yeah, each team has a personality of its own. How long does it take to develop that and what goes into creating it?
Well, I think it starts kind of January. And then the way the rules work now, because so in January you've got, you know, I don't want to put percentage, let's just say 60%, you know. And then you start the summer and you've got about 90% of your guys. And then once fall camp starts, you're closer to 100. And so I think the personality really starts in January, and then it carries and kind of builds through the summer. And then during your first 2 weeks of camp, I think it's kind of solidified. And then when you get in the season, it's how you handle your first big piece of adversity. I like this. This team's got a kind of a youthful energy about it. They're excited. They're a confident group. They're a group that is really hungry right now, has a chip on their shoulder. They're fun to coach. And so, but I think it's too early. You know, I want to see how we handle, you know, today we're in shoulder pads. I mean, we're in helmets, you know, it's 75 degrees, you know, it's kind of all purple skies and butterflies. So we'll see how it goes once it gets a little warmer and there's some contact.
You mentioned adding speed at wide receiver a few times. How do you feel about what you did in that department? And have you noticed, you know, that on field?
Yeah, I think everybody's really kind of underselling our receiver crew a little bit. And I get it, because if you look at it, the old way of doing things, when you looked at, you know, kind of preseason stuff, is you look at returning production. But the only returning production people count is returning production on your team. And so we did. We lost a high percentage. You know, Bryce and Sam were you know, very productive the last couple of years as far as number of catches and those type of things. So I get why people are maybe underselling, but – I really like what we've done. It's the most versatile group we have. We catch the ball better. Now we got to go do it in a game, but you know, as far as just catching the football and being pure pass catchers, we're at a higher level than we've been. I like the mix up. You know, I kind of use it. You know, I've used that basketball reference a couple times talking about them. We've got guys that aren't similar. You know, I think that, you know, you just think about like Devin Carter's a big, strong guy. You know, E.J. Horton is an extremely fast guy. Jayshon Polk is fast. Cortez Braham is a physical guy. You know, you got Preston Fox, who's very shifty. And then you got Noah Massey, who we added, who's just a big human that's playing slot receiver. And so I like the different body types we have. I like the different styles. In this first 2 weeks of camp, we got to figure out their strengths and how we use them the best. And that's on us as coaches, but I like the guys, and I like the mix of what their skill set is.
Defensively, you mentioned and Coach Leslie talked about getting back to the basics, things like that. Is the plan similar? Is it advancing? Like, what have you seen in terms of that now? Because that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You've seen that. What have you seen from getting back to the basics with the defense? What do you like about what you've added?
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, we went back and really the process during the off season, talking about December and January off season, is really analyzing what our issues were. And so for us, a big part of that was simplifying, is improving our tackling ability, and just fundamental football. And we're really sticking to that. You know, I think the thing that's easy to do from a coaching perspective is you get into – to camp and you have your install set, and then you've wanted to start to do a little bit more. And that's what we've got to be really careful about, because we've got guys that our team speed is the best we've had. And so I want our guys to play fast. And we're really focused on our alignments, making sure we can get aligned, our effort to the ball, and then being physical at the point of contact, whether that's shedding blocks or making tackles on the ball. And, you know, we're going to be – we'll mix it up on third downs, but, you know, in our base defense on normal down and distance in the open field, we want to be – we want to get lined and continue to be simple.
You know, you talked about it down at media days. Can you go into the play calling decision?
Yeah, I just think it goes back to this is, you know, made the decision what we were going to do offensively, you know, back during that December-January term. Chad's done a really good job as a coordinator, and he'll lead those. He's going to lead those unit meetings. He's kind of the voice in practice. But it goes down – this is going into year nine for me as a head coach. And so – 1 year didn't call the plays. The rest of them did. Now, Jared was very, very involved and called some games at the end of that 21 season. And so, but for the other 7 years as a head coach, I've always called it. And I think there's some real advantages of being able to do that as far as managing the game. Taking a step back and not doing it last year is not something I necessarily regret, because I think it was good for me from a growth standpoint. It's been beneficial as far as, because it really gave me some time to think about, okay, who do we need to be here for us to be successful offensively? You know, what do my weeks and days look like as a play caller? And for me, it just came back like the most success I've had as a head coach is doing it. And you know, the only reason I have this job in the first place is because I was a really good offense coordinator. And so I've got a really good room, and Chad and Reagan and Matt, those guys, we've played a lot of games together, and I think they're really bright. And we added some young energy and some, I think, great coaches, which, you know, Bilal got recognized 30 under 30 yesterday, which I thought was a really good kind of feather in his cap. And so, but that's kind of all the items that went into it.
Would Sean and Chad have any in-game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, like, Sean will be up top. And he's always been, even with Graham last year, you know, Graham really leaned on him as well, and we'll continue to do that. And Chad and Matt have had a lot of say in our run game, you know, going back probably as far as 2 years ago. And so they'll continue to do that. I think a lot of it, like the actual in-game play calling sometimes is a little bit overrated. It's more about getting your game plan set early in the week and being able to rep those plays and then having answers within the game. I think that's probably as much. And answers within the game a lot of times comes from those guys that aren't necessarily the play caller, because as a play caller, you're thinking ahead. And then in between series, those guys can really help you, because they're not necessarily focused on the ball as much. They're looking at other things. But, yeah, for sure. That's a long answer, but, yes, they'll definitely have a say.
Is it fair to say parts of the field, certain situations?
No, yeah. So you're asking kind of how we did it. You're asking about – yeah. Yeah, not as much right now. Yeah, not as much.
Just, is it fair to say that their role in terms of play calling and game could also develop as the season progresses?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, here's the thing that y'all need to understand, I think you probably already do this, but, like, my trust level in those guys, we've been through a lot of battles, is extremely high. And I listen to them. You know, they're not just giving suggestions that are just, hey, try this. They have really good reasoning behind that. And when they tell me things, whether it's practice games, you know, planning purposes, like I listen. Oh, Chad?
Yeah.
So here's – and I think I've said this maybe in this setting before, is sometimes you add responsibilities to people and they get really bogged down. And then sometimes you add responsibilities to people and they really flourish. And I think that's what's happened with Chad, is he's really flourished. He's gifted in front of the room. He does a really good job. Like, he's a guy that's consistently has energy, which I think's – important, maybe more so dealing with today's player than ever. He's got really good energy.
He's a great teacher. He uses language that is what I mean by this from a teaching standpoint. I think the language you use and the clarity that you use is extremely important. And he's able to really articulate his points using very few words. And he has the ability for his players to be able to give that back, give that information back to him. The other thing, too, is I think, you know, pushing him outside his boundaries, like in the spring, like he called almost every scrimmage, he called all the plays. I think that gave him really unique perspective. He did it a couple years ago in the Golden Blue game, but other than that, that's the only time he's done it is this last spring. So I think that added a really perspective to him, and I think that helped him. And in turn, that's going to help me in the fall. But, no, I'm really pleased with what he's doing right now.
You see Garrett and Nico's growth from the first spring practice through the summer to where you are now in terms of their understanding of what you want to do, the things that they're suggesting, maybe the back and forth. Are you seeing growth there from those two guys?
Yeah, I thought today it's one day. So, you know, ask me, you know, next week and I'll be able to give you a better answer. The thing that I like today about both those guys, very even keeled, you know, and Garrett as a younger player and maybe even in the spring to probably a little lesser extent, he's got great energy. You know, his juice levels are extremely high. And what happened previously when he was a younger player is he'd have really highs and then really lows. And if you're a guy that kind of has a bounce to you and you're up every day, your lows are really magnified. Because, you know, somebody else's, if he's at a normal level, everybody's looking at him like, what's wrong? You know, and today I thought his energy level was good. Even he made a couple bad decisions, but it didn't affect him. And he was able to bounce back. And the same with Nico. I think he's more comfortable. He's at ease, you know. And both of them are competing for the job. And sometimes what happens when you get in these competitions, in these singular jobs, whether it's quarterback, kicker, is – guys get really tense and they feel like the decision is based on every single play. And I thought Nico was a little bit like that in the spring and Garrett a little bit, but I thought both of them were much more at ease today and didn't try to force things, handled the negative plays better. And so I thought that's growth and we'll see how they continue to handle it as we move forward.
Maybe not every play has to be spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like we hit a lot more checkdowns today, which is a growth for the quarterback.
Let me go back to the personality thing. Is it common for teams to have two personalities, offense, defense, and is it kind of good to maybe have them different for when they practice against each other?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, who's your alphas on each side of the ball. You know, if like speaking on defense right now, kind of our alpha over there is Lee Koba, and he's an aggressive by nature. He likes to talk. A bad play doesn't necessarily affect him. And so, you know, if we can have his aggressive mentality defensively, then I think that's going to be a positive. But it has to happen. You can't necessarily force that. But he's definitely the leader there, especially. You know, he and Sean in the front. And so I'd like for us to move toward kind of his mentality defensively.
I assume the youthful exuberance comes from Bart Garrett.
Without a doubt. And Garrett's, I mean, y'all have been around him. He and Nico both have a confidence about him. And, you know, they've both been really successful athletes. You know, Garrett was a high-level baseball player. Nico had an incredible comeback. You know, on ESPN, in high school. I mean, they've had a ton of success, and they've got natural leadership skills, and they're likable, you know, which – and they both have – when I say, like, I think you have from an energy level, when I say that, like, when people with, like, good energy come into a room, you kind of feel it, and both those guys have that.
You're losing transfers that just enrolled this mm-hmm. summer, sort of in three groups, wide receiver, defensive back, and defensive line. Mm-hmm. One of those positions easier to catch up quickly without a spring behind them? And then is one just because of need more important for you to really step forward right away?
Well, I think the guys that have played a lot of football, it's an easier transition. So even Tyron Bradley, who's making a big jump from FCS to Power 5,
but he's played a lot of football. And so his transition, Beanie Bishop, who's really a six-year guy, like his transition because he's played and he's basically done this where you come in for a year. He did that last year at Minnesota. So he kind of understands, probably learned some lessons from that experience that he's carrying forward here. Anthony Wilson, you know, he's played a ton of football. So there's transition. I think it's more the experience level of the player rather than the position.
One of those groups to step forward just because really,
to be honest with you, all those guys we took in that May kind of transfer window, we need them to play. You know, like Tyron Bradley, I got him listed here. Tyron Bradley, he needs to push Jared Bartlett. We need to be able to play both of those guys at the same time. Beanie Bishop, you know, we need experience, and he's got versatility. He can play inside and outside. Like, we need to get him ready to play. That's why we got him. You know, Anthony Wilson, we need a safety with experience, and he's played a ton of football and he's a good tackler. Tomey, we needed somebody that could play, you know, that had length. And now he's a younger player. He only played in four games last year at Kentucky. And so maybe he's not as far along and from an experience standpoint, but he's talented and he's big, and we need him to be a factor. Fatorma, an older guy, you know, was kind of a role player at Penn State. We needed him to increase his role here, you know, and really push Hammond and Mike at that position. Noah Massey, you know, last year guy. We wanted a guy that a big physical presence at in the slot receiver. Right now we've got one really true receiving threat at tight end in Cole Taylor. And then we've got a couple young guys that maybe or maybe not going to be ready. So we wanted another kind of big body in the middle. So, like, he's got to be ready to play. E.J. Horton. You know, he was just coming on at Marshall, you know, right at the end of last year, and he's played. And so he's got a unique skill set, and he can really run. And so he's going to get plenty of opportunities to go do it. And so but all those guys that we took in that May block, man, we need them to play. You know, that's why they're here.
How do you feel about Will right now?
Dick, hey, Will linebacker? I think that's the question mark. You know, I don't think that's something that we shy away from is – we need to see. That's if you were going to ask me, like, defensively, what's the position that you're most intrigued by? Who's going to step up? Is it that Will linebacker spot? You know, like, we've got some candidates, but a lot of them haven't played. And so who's going to, over the next 2.5 weeks, who's going to show that they're ready? And to me, that's what this first 2.5 weeks of fall camp is, like, the transfers, like, I want to see them and how they mesh and how they take to our systems. But I feel pretty good about those guys, getting them to a point where they're ready. What I'm really wanting to see is those guys that played for us last year but were maybe in lesser roles, or maybe they were really young. Like, I want to see how big a jump those guys are going to make, you know, especially in the secondary. Jacoby Spells, Andrew Wilson-Lamp, Marcus Floyd going into year two. I want to see those guys in the jump that they make from playing, you know, kind of minor roles or lesser roles last year to now being pressed into duty, because that's what's going to make our football team. That's what's going to make our football team is the guys that make a jump from a year ago.
You're a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't really talked about that yet. New addition. I'm assuming that's something you probably wanted to add for various reasons. Necessity.
Yeah, well, Matt did a really good job. Matt Jansen did a really good job, and we wish him the best as he moves on. And I thought I'm proud of what we've been able to do in that department-wise, you know, as far as just as college football has changed and evolved. I think we've kind of – our personnel department's really changed and evolved. Now we have truly a scouting department, and that's really focused on college scouting or the transfer portal window. And then we have high school recruiting that's obviously aimed at high school and junior college recruiting. And so – and Matt's a big part of that, of growing that. And so now Drew comes, and he's a guy that got a ton of positive feedback on people that I trust. When we opened that position, it was non-negotiable. We wanted somebody with NFL experience. And he's got 18-plus years of NFL experience at both the regional and the advanced scouting levels. So we wanted to bring that NFL experience for multiple reasons. You know, the first being instant credibility within our building, and being able to communicate with our staff and with our current roster what the NFL, you know, what they're looking for, how they evaluate, what the individual player needs to do to continue to grow, to put themselves in a position to play in the National Football League. And then having the scouting background, because that's essentially what you're doing in the portal, is you're taking the NFL model from a scouting perspective and you're applying it to a little bit younger guy at the college level. And so the other reason, in I wanted somebody with experience, because I want us to continue to develop the people within that department, you know. And so excited about him. He started last week. Today was his first practice, and he's going to be a big benefit to not only me, but I think our players here, and helping us continue to grow what we're doing in the portal.
Still two spots left.
We do. And like I told you, I don't know, somebody asked me about it at the at Media Days. And we could, but we were open to taking one more. And we pursued one guy that was in the portal and just got beat. And so but I wanted to keep one, and now we have two open for guys that are walk-ons that earned that opportunity. And I think that's really important. It's good for your locker room. It's good for your walk-on program, which has been really good for us, especially here in state. And so that's what we'll look at. Well, I think that's a minor part of it. I think just the fact that really a sour taste, you know, in really the whole program from a year ago, where just where we underachieved. We had some opportunities to get bowl eligible, and we didn't do that. And so I think that burn, and then, you know, maybe the lack of respect that we're getting in the preseason, that contributes to it. But I think the biggest piece of that is last year.
Connecting the dots from kind of feeling a chip on your shoulder to a lot of conversation about the personality of the team, even the players that were added and kind of now feeling the vibe of this team, obviously you're going to want to have good players, and that's the number one reason to add them. But what are your thoughts on being discounted and then having, it seems like, having a lot of players, whether they were here or not, or even coming over, that also maybe have chips on their shoulders, like a collective group of players with chips on the shoulder, that it's the perfect storm almost, if you're going to surprise people?
Well, that's the hope. You know, I think if you go back and there's people in this room that have, John in particular, and a couple other guys that can speak on the history of the program probably at a better than I can, but I've done a lot of research since I've been here. And I think that's kind of the personality of our program, is it's always been kind of somebody that's overlooked, you know, a blue collar program. You know, that's something that Mike and his staff, we've really kind of hammered on all summer, is the fact that, okay, hey, you prove them right or you prove them wrong, and it's really up to us. And the fact that you've got to have this burning desire, you know, and this hunger to really do better. And so if you go back and look at some of the best teams here, they haven't necessarily been picked, you know, to achieve at a high level. And so there's some solace in that. There's also some, you know, like you can go back to recent, in the last three preseason polls, and looked how, where people were picked and where they finished. And it's, you know, I said this at Media Days, I wasn't trying to be a smartass, it's accurate. Like they haven't been very good at it. You know what I mean? Like, and so there's some solace in that too.
Any position changes of note? No CJ Donaldson in the back pocket that you're looking around
this year? Let me think about that. We moved Davis to wide out. I think I told y'all that back in the spring. I don't think so. Nobody else. Yep.
You mentioned, you know, some advantages to managing the game. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I did a podcast the other day, and I got asked the same question. And so the communication is – there's less communication needed when the head coach is the play caller, you know, which is – so let's say from a data analytics, you know, this – Randy Wilkins now, used to be David Faulkner, but Randy Wilkins now is kind of my point guy on our data analytics.
And so we really make a lot of these decisions on Thursday before the game of when we're going to go for it, fourth down, when you're going to go for it, you know, for the touchdown or field goal. A lot of those decisions are made. Now, there's always kind of the ebb and flow of the game, you know. But if the head coach not the play caller, basically what you do is, you know, on first or second down at the latest, you let the guy know when he's got four downs. And as the head coach, you don't necessarily have to communicate that. And so you can kind of think ahead, and you don't have to sit there and go, hey, remember, first down, second down, because you got three more. And there's some advantages on that. You can also control the tempo of the game, which I think is important. I think a good example of that is when we played at Oklahoma. Would have that been, we got beat on the walk-off field goal, but we really controlled that game. You know, they were really potent and on offense coming into that game. We huddled more and really controlled the time of possession, and were able to kind of manage the game. And if not for for an error there, we'd had a chance to at a field goal to win the game. And so, and that's not something that I sit there and talked to our team about. You know, we just had a plan. Hey, we want to shorten the game going into it, and you're able to do that. And so that's just an example how, as a head coach, you can really affect the tempo of the game. And I think the offensive play caller has more of an impact on the tempo of the game than anybody else. And that's not discounting defense at all. It's just at how fast or rapid you're calling games, and then if you're going to be aggressive on fourth down or not.
How do you feel about where you stand on special teams, especially with some turnover in the kicking game?
Yeah, that's going to be a focus of us. You know, our field position differential has got to be better. I really felt like that punt team-wise last year, we were really good on punt, and our snappers are really good. We got our team speed was okay last year. It's even better this year. I think our punters got a chance to be elite. And then we affected some punts. Got better in the return game once we went with Preston. I thought he did a nice job later in the year. But we were able to affect some punts. And so where we really struggled last year was on our kickoff defense. And some of that was we were a little erratic at kicker. And some of that was we missed 16 tackles on kickoff last year, which is, I mean, that's absurd. That's way too high. And our kickoff return last year, we really made a bunch of poor decisions at the returner. You know, I think our average starting field position at kickoff return was on the 21-yard line, which, give you an example, like I think Kansas State and maybe TCU is like the 28. That's a 7-yard difference. That's huge. And so our point of emphasis, we're going to continue to be really good at the punt game. And then our kickoff defense and our kickoff return has got to be much, much better. And so I think you see that. We went out and invested in two returners. Beanie Bishop's returned a lot of kicks. Jayshon Polk's been a high-level kickoff returner. And so we're going to put those guys back there, and we're going to coach them up and make better decisions. We're going to be different schematically. And then our kickoff team, we've had an emphasis on tackling going back to January, and that better show up on kickoff as well. Not really. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm old enough to know, like, when they were in the conference. I played them in the Big 12 before. So that's why I guess I got some gray in here, Tony. Now, here's my deal on expansion is I've got a ton of confidence in Commissioner Yormark. And so however all this shakes out is because of my belief in him is West Virginia – is going to be positioned well, and the Big 12 is going to be positioned well. I don't really have much thought on Texas and Oklahoma. I really don't care. And I don't mean that negative. I just really don't care. Same with Colorado coming in. I think it's a great addition. I think I think it's genius to try to get in four time zones, you know, because it's all about TV. And if you can play in all four time slots on Saturday and be in a time slot on Thursday and Friday, it's pretty good business to me. And so that's how I would answer that.
More about Wonder than Roy?
I'm intrigued. It's a good story. Gives everybody something to talk about. Keeps college football in the press. So, yep. Thank y'all.